Welcome to Emmanuel Baptist Church. It's not Christmas morning, but it sure feels like it. What a blessing to stand here and participate to sing with the children's choir and the adult choir. I want to say thank you to everyone who did that. Thank you to everyone who was here participating last night. That was just a wonderful event. So as we're settling in, we're continuing on what I'm calling The Glory of God. This is series three. And the title of today's message is Jesus is Our Joy. So in what or in whom do you find your pride and joy? Now, if you're a parent, it's okay. Your pride and joy was standing up here singing. And that was just adorable. What brings laughter to your heart and a feeling of peace and contentment? What brings you joy? Joy is listed in the Bible, depending on the version you use, over 300 times. And yesterday I thought, oh, I need to do a word search. So in the message notes, I did a word search, and I actually I'm going to say joy 72 times, 73 because I just said it again. How many times have we sung this morning, joy to the world, true and lasting joy? Now compare that with, I think it was Tuesday, Sharon and I got an email. We get lots of emails like you do, and it said, it was from Costco, and yes, we're Costco shoppers, and it said, open here to find joy, right? And honestly, I do enjoy going to Costco, but usually I pay for it afterwards, either in pounds or dollars. So the two events that I want to look at today, we've already seen from the Bible, two beautiful events of joy. First, there were some men, young, old, who knows, out in a field, doing their job, probably cold. I don't think the birth of Jesus was in December. It was probably more in the spring, but it was probably still cold at night. And they might have had a campfire, sitting around, getting ready for bed, making sure that their sheep were settled for the evening, maybe corralled, I don't know. And all of a sudden, think about it. In the darkness, the dark pitch black of night, the glory of God shone. And I don't even know how to describe that. I mean, I think the movies and the shows that we see do a good job of that brilliant glory, the glory of God that Moses asked to see, and it turned him white. The glory of God, a messenger, an angel sent to tell these lowly little workers out in a field. And of course, their reaction to this bright light was fear, which is normal, a human response. But what was the message? Don't be afraid, because I bring you good news, tidings of great joy, that tonight in Bethlehem near you, your Savior has been born. And the rest of the verses don't use the word joy, but I can only imagine. And if you have watched the Chosen, the little short episode, it's beautiful. Because they run with joy to see this baby. And then once they've beheld him, they tell everybody around them. Because that's what joy does. Is it's something that when we receive it, we just can't contain it. Okay, the other biblical story that we read is years before this event that we just talked about, some wise men, magi, astronomers, saw this message in the sky. And they had been taught years earlier, probably through Daniel and the influence of Israel going into bondage and captivity and all of those beautiful stories that we have, they had received the message that someone very special was coming. And you think about these people who got their things together. They packed camels and donkeys and servants, whatever it took for them to take this arduous journey, maybe up to 2 years, to find the place where the star pointed. And when they did, after all the circumstances that they had to go through to find the place, they found the baby and the mother and Joseph, and they worshiped him with great joy, right? The end of their journey was there. Great joy. They gave him gold and frankincense and myrrh. Joy as an emotion can come and go. We frequently feel like maybe we've lost our joy, even if it's for a short time. Like all the other attributes of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, joy can be restored. The first way to recover joy is to remember that true and lasting joy as a gift comes from our Father through Jesus Christ, the Son. Second, we are assured, and these aren't the points, by the way, these are just the introduction points. Second, we are assured of joy even in the storm. Even when it appears the world is crumbling around us, we have joy because on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Right? All other ground is sinking sand. We hear his words and we obey him. Then we have wisdom building our house on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. Finally, joy comes to us through serving others. The principle here is taking the focus off of ourselves and freely giving the gifts to others. We receive when we give. We are grateful when we are given. We find joy when we look for others to bless and the blessings that we have received. So, our first thought today, and yes, I did it. Maybe it would bring joy to your eyes. I thought of acronyms. Now, if you know, traditionally, historically, JOY stands for Jesus, Others, You. Has anybody ever heard that? Right? That's an old one. I didn't use that today because it's good. I think it's a good principle to live by. If you put Jesus first and others second and yourself third, that's a good life principle to live by. But I wanted to be creative. So our first point is justice, obedience, and yes, I am. So joy in justice. Joy is confident expectation of all the Lord has for us, what he has done on the cross and in his resurrection. First, joy at knowing our sins are forgiven. Romans 8:1, for there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Earlier in Romans, David said, Paul, quoting David, said it this way. In chapter 4, verse 6, it reads, David also spoke of this when he described the happiness of those who are declared righteous without working for it. And he quotes David, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. We could stop right there. We have joy because we are washed whiter than snow. Our sins are removed. That's a beautiful, beautiful message of joy. We rejoice. There it is. It's hidden in there, rejoice, right? Rejoice. But both now and in the future, knowing we have been made with God, right with God, reconciliation. Remember, we talked about reconciliation last week. Through the forgiveness of our sins, Jesus is our joy because Jesus is joy. So, obedience. The first step of obedience is repentance. Hearing the words, repent for the kingdom of God is near. There is joy in the act of bending our knee, bowing before his throne and confessing our sins and being made right with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We do this again and again. Yes, that's the moment of salvation when we confess our sins and receive him as Lord, but we also do it every day. Today, I confess my sins to you, God, and I ask for new joy and peace in my heart. Psalm 35, again, David. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. And then the yes and amen. And I had to put the amen on there. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you said yes to his invitation to enter into a relationship with him? He says, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. And then in Revelation, Jesus says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in with you and share a meal together as friends. This is the invitation. This is the whole reason we are here celebrating joy. Is if you don't have joy of Jesus in your life, today is the day of salvation. And all you have to do is say yes and amen. Yes, Jesus, I confess you as Lord. Yes, I confess that I am failed and flawed and broken, and I need you to forgive me. Yes, I receive you as my King and my Lord, and I receive you. In Jesus' name, amen. A simple little prayer. If you've never done that, come and talk to me. I'll pray with you. Find somebody, a friend, someone who you trust, and trust in Jesus so that you can receive true and lasting joy, the kind of joy that we're talking about today. The second joy is journey of yielding. Okay, journey of yielding. Now, I had to go back to Romans 5:1. Every week, I just keep going back to it because all of the themes that we're working through are right there. It reads, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God, right? A couple weeks ago. Because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into a place of undeserving privilege where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice. Joy again. Two, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. So you and I are on a pilgrimage, a journey, and really one that takes a lifetime. We go through trials, hardships, problems, difficulties, and we learn that these help us to develop endurance. The life principle of developing and training, for example, our bodies, is the same with our spirits. Okay, so we can learn that if you begin doing exercises and you eat right and you rest, which is what the doctors tell us to do, right, Ruben? Asun, right? If we do that, we experience positive aspects. Well, it's the same with the spiritual disciplines, okay? Disciplining our spirit in the same way that we can discipline our body, okay? And I think I introduced last week that coming into January, thank you, Brother Saatchi, for leading us, we are going to move into a season of prayer and fasting. And you'll be hearing a whole lot more about that on the 29th of this month and the 5th and then the rest of January, February, while we're still going through John. We're going to weave those in together. But a season of prayer and fasting, practicing the spiritual disciplines, one thing I want to offer you as a tool, it's called the 1 Minute Pause. And it's an app. You can download it on your phone, and it will remind you twice a day. You can set it up any way you want. I think its default is 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock. So 9 in the morning, you'll get a little plink on your phone and it says stop and pray. And there's a little guide that you can use. And it's beautiful because the first line is, Jesus, I give everyone and everything to you. And I can tell you from experience that that's a lot harder to do than it sounds. But it's really good exercise, spiritual exercise, right? And it's a pause app, so you pause, you stop, take a deep breath, and you say, Jesus, I give everyone, that's everyone, and I give everything to you, right? All my worries, all my fears, all my stress, all my anxiety, all the good, the bad, and the ugly in my life, I give everyone and everything to you. It's a beautiful practice of discipline in this journey of yielding, learning to surrender, learning to yield. And the third thing I want to talk about, I've actually titled it The Fellowship, and then I put in parentheses, of the rings, because I'm a big Tolkien fan. The journey is best not done alone. Okay, now if you follow the Tolkien lore, you know that, you know, these little people have some friends, they run into them, and the fellowship grows, right? And they have an awesome, amazing, terrible, beautiful task. And they learn through the journey to do it together. And that's why we're here, right? That's why you come to Emmanuel. That's why we're together, because I need you. And you need each other. And you need me. And we're stronger when we walk together. A good example of that was setting up the big old tents last night. One person can't do that. It takes six or so people to spread that thing out and lift it and do all of the stuff. So we're stronger spiritually as well as physically when we go on this journey together and trust in each other. And that's what I'm going to call on us to do in this season of prayer and fasting. So our third joy, and I don't have 3 points today, so I'm working through it quickly. This one is jovial, observant, yearning. Okay, jovial. And yes, I do use a thesaurus when I do all this searching. But joy is serving others, using your God-given gifts to bless others. We receive joy when we give it away. And again, it's taking the focus off myself. And honestly, I think that might be a mental discipline as well as a spiritual discipline, right? Because I'm just naturally human like you, and I'm selfish, right? I want things. And so as we intentionally humble ourselves and put others first, right? We're practicing doing for others and being for others and caring for others. Like we said before, being genuine in our, how are you today? I bet you're a little tired from yesterday, right? We did a whole lot of stuff. Physically, I'm tired. But I'm just boiling over with joy because of the children and the choir. We could have ended the service right there, and I would have been totally happy. Philippians 2:17, Paul tells us, but I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid, offering to God. Just like your faithful service is an offering to God, and all I want for you is to share that joy. When we pour out our life as a drink offering to God, what do we get? We get the gift of joy in return. When I was growing up, there was a little hand stitch, I think it's called cross stitch, in the restroom. And it was a poem by Helen Steiner Rice, and I read it a lot. It's called Give Lavishly, Live Abundantly. And it's the more you give, the more you get. The more you laugh, the less you fret. The more you do unselfishly, the more you live abundantly. The more of everything you share, the more you'll always have to spare. The more you love, the more you'll find that life is good and friends are kind. For only what we give away enriches us from day to day. I think that's beautiful. And so, observant, the most helpful people are the most happy people. The most unhappy people are the ones focused on themselves. And so when I talk about observant, I'm saying be intentional about looking at ways to bless other people. Okay? It's kind of a mental discipline and a spiritual discipline again. We have to practice looking for ways to bless others. And Paul says in Philippians 4:4, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon, he says. So Paul compares joy with unselfishness and consideration. Okay? Be considerate of others. Find ways to bless and love each other. And then yearning. Yearning as a definition is a feeling of intense longing for something. We yearn to know God more, to allow Jesus to be more and more at home in our hearts, right? From Ephesians 3. We yearn for his return, to meet him face to face. It's going to be amazing. I'm looking forward to it. We yearn to be a servant of Jesus who is doing what he has called and gifted us to do, using our gifts to help others. So, our last slide, we are to be. This is one of my catchphrases. We are to be. As we're developing lists, I don't like that word necessarily. We're trying to understand what it means to be a healthy disciple in a healthy church. We're discussing, let's put it that way, right? We're discussing with each other. And that means a discussion. So come and talk to me about this. I want your iron sharpening iron, right? Challenge me, if you will. Ask questions. I've got lots of answers, but I also have lots of questions. So I don't know if you noticed this, but these are the themes for the last 3 weeks and the next four. These are what we're doing each Sunday. Because we are to be a people of hope, a people of peace. Today, we're talking about being a people of joy. Next week, we talk about being a people of love. And then on Christmas Eve, we come together and we are going to adore our Savior, the baby Jesus sent for us, who became the Lamb of God, who takes away our sins so that we can have joy. And then worship and prayer on the 29th and the 5th. Those are our themes. And so today, we're going to transition into a time of the Lord's Supper. A time when we stop and we take that joy that we have and we remember what he did for us. So I would invite the musicians forward, I invite our deacons forward, the servers to come, and let's enter into a time of the Lord's Supper. And as they're coming, I want to end with a few questions for you to consider. As you're thinking about what Jesus has done for me in his death and burial and resurrection through the bread and through the blood, I want to ask you, how are you serving the Lord? How are you serving the Lord? How are you serving others? Christmas is the season of giving, and that does bring us joy. But how might you bring the season of giving of yourself through the whole year by continuing to give? So let's pray. Father, as we come into this time of focusing on you, our joy, Jesus, the Son of God, your Son, sent to give us life and hope and peace and true joy. Thank you for the gift of the broken body and the poured out blood, that as we participate, as we receive, you make us holy. You cleanse us from all sin and all unrighteousness, and you allow us to be your children. You call us your friends. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.